Thank you, Matt. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Rebecca, for leading us and our team. I don't know about you, but these guys have just seemed to be freer. They're just freer. They seem like they're more engaged with our audience. Thank you, guys, for just working hard. Our choir and orchestra and musicians, our tech crew, they just, give them a hand. They've been around for 100 years, and they're just getting better and better every day. It's so exciting. If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Today I'm going to talk to you about new beginnings. Because this is a graduation Sunday celebration, they have not yet graduated just yet. I recall I was sitting there when they were walking these guys across stage. I remember when my son Seth walked across stage as a graduate from Oak Mountain High School and then a graduate from Auburn. And I was thinking about, we had that graduation Sunday, and he just kind of checked out. He just kind of checked out. And I said, bro, you have got some more days you have to go to class. You have got to finish those classes. He said, Dad, I got enough credits. I said, yeah, but I can make a call to the administration and force you to get into class. Just kidding. No, it was a wonderful time of celebration. What an accomplishment. Congratulations so much for our students, our high schoolers, and our college guys that are going on to the next generation, and those that are graduating high school and possibly going into the workforce. Congratulations for a job well done. Genesis chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And then God called the light day. And he called the darkness night. Evening came. And then morning, the first day, let's pray. Father God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these amazing families that have invested their lives, raising their kids, pointing them in the right direction. And Father, those students that have walked across the stage and those that are college students that were unable to be here today, Father, thank you so much for their diligence and their work and their persistence in pursuing their degree. And Father, we just thank you so much for them. Thank you for the opportunity to be in here today to encourage them from the Word as we take these next steps in this brand new beginning of life, this new chapter, so to speak, of what might happen in their life. I pray, Father, that you will receive all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for what's about to be done in this place, and we give you the glory. Thank you for a church that's investing in the lives of students here and the ones that are in college continuing to minister to them as well. And Father, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. A couple of message truths for you today. Although we may face the invisible war with inside us, we know and experience and receive the power of the Holy Spirit to move us forward to the next steps of life. There is a war out there that wants our students to not move forward in their next steps of life. There is actually a war out there against us, principalities of the world, that do not want any of us, no matter whether they're high school or college or we're old people like me, they don't want us to move forward. The next truth is this: new beginnings signifies a new chapter. It is a concept of optimism and hope, encouraging individuals to embrace new opportunities and look forward to a positive future. That was given to me this week. I was just encouraged by that statement this week as I was praying through all the things that are happening here at Roswell Street and other things that are happening around the globe. And the new beginning signifies this new chapter in our lives, a concept of optimism and of hope for us as individuals to embrace these new opportunities and looking forward, not backward, to a positive future. Students, I want to share with you today that you were brought into an unusual world. You were brought into an unusual world. We saw some of the memories on some of the pictures that we had on the screen just a moment ago. And some of us scratch our heads and say, my goodness gracious, why did we bring these beautiful, wonderful children into this crazy world? Eugene Peterson, in his book, Running with Horses, he writes these words, and I quote, "Our lives are not puzzles to be figured out. Rather, we come to God who knows us and it reveals to us the truth of our lives. The fundamental mistake is to begin with ourselves and not with God. God is the center from which all life develops. If we use our egos as the center from which we plot our geometry of our lives, we will be eccentrically lost." Dear friends, let me tell you something. We can look to a greater desert, a greater hope. I want to share with you based on Genesis chapter 1, which began everything. God is behind everything. Students, you were brought into this world, this crazy world, as I said a moment ago, somewhat confused, and still is if you look at the newsreels. This world is confused about a lot of things. You were brought into this world where God is still sovereign, however, and he is still in control. If we believe that God is a God of the universe, he is sovereign God of the universe, and he is still in control, even in the midst of the chaos and the craziness that we see facing us every day. You were brought into a world that might have lost its moral compass, which I believe if anybody at the sound of my voice would look on the newsreels, you will see how disgusting some things are happening and how the moral compass has been set aside. You were brought into a world where God is still in control, even if the rest of the world wants to do their own thing. He is still in control. And if we turn to him and trust in him and call out his name, he will come to us and he will guide us and he will comfort us and he will give us all that we need. We got a world that God says, if you will just call upon my name, I will. No matter what is happening around you, if you call on my name, I will come into your life. So God is behind everything and in all things. I want to give you four things this morning real quickly as we unpack this verses and several other verses as well. The first one is this: in the beginning was God, because out of nothing and from nothing he created everything. Now let that sink in just for a second. Let that baptize over you just a little bit. From out of nowhere, God created everything. Why? Because he was before anything else. Everything exists because of him. Now we are not a creedal bunch as Baptists, but there is a wonderful creed that is recited in some churches. It's called the Apostles' Creed, and I think it's got wonderful theology to it. Now, we're not creedal people. I'm not suggesting that we change our bylaws and become that, but listen to what it says. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. That's a great spot to be in. That's a great place to launch from. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was in the beginning. From absolutely nothing and from out of completely nowhere, God began by creating everything that we enjoy today. You'll see that the theory be questioned in college, especially those of you that are going to college, and those of you who are graduating from college, you can contest to that theory that God created everything will be contested, and you need strong foundations to overcome that. It is good for us to remember that no matter how confusing this crazy world that we have, how confusing it is that we were born into, brought into, raised up in, no matter how confusing and how disgusting that it might come across to be, we have an opportunity to see that God is still in control. He made everything. Nothing gets him caught off guard. He doesn't sit up in heaven and wring his hands and says, oh my goodness gracious, those people down in Georgia, I forgot that this was going on down there. He knows everything. Why? Because he is sovereign God of the universe. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. He's omniscient. He knows all things that are happening even before they're going to happen. So, dear friends, let me tell you something. In this last final days of your high school career, or even this final moments of your college career, we'll be on a roller coaster over the next few days. You'll be on a highs and lows. You'll be ecstatic. Some of your parents are going to be thrilled to death that you walk across that stage. And parents gathering here close, don't miss this. Some of you that have college graduates that are walking across that stage and they're going into their own job force, and you say, wow, hallelujah, they're off the payroll. Gather in here close. That is a lie. Completely. For some reason, they never get off the payroll. And then they get married and have kids, and the payroll increases. Can I get an amen to that? I've never bought more dresses in my entire life, and I only have a 4 and a 2-year-old. It's incredible. But you know what? We have the joy of seeing them in being a part of what happens. Life tragedies that come about. Crises may come about. Unexpected curveballs come their way. No matter how difficult it gets, God is still in control. Nothing happens that catches him off guard. So first of all, in the beginning, God was God, and out of nothing and from nothing, he created everything. Second thing I want to give you today, I told you it was going to be quick, so buckle up. The God of good beginning desires, students and adults, the God of good beginnings desires to have a relationship with us. Now, this is very fundamental for those of us that have been Christians for a long time. But some of us need this fresh reminder. I needed this fresh reminder. You're going to have some choices to make. We have got choices to make as a church. We have choices to make every day in our careers. There are going to be some challenges along the way. And God wants to have a relationship with us. He desires to have that relationship. So as you walk across the stage and you receive that diploma at graduation, whether high school or college, or maybe you're walking into the workforce, live this final summer out of life. You need to understand, continue those challenges we'll be faced with every day. In college, in work, and in high school, we face them all. In the workforce, we face them. Some of you are going to graduate high school. You're going to go to college. And you're going to pick a major. Or two. Or three. Or four. Sometimes even five. I told my dad, after my junior year in high school, he said, son, you got to pick something here. My junior year in high school were the 6 best years of my life. I'm telling you, it was amazing. He said, this is not an advocate. This is not a vocation. This is an avocation. Get done with this thing, man. Folks, let me tell you something. We're going to face with all these challenges. You may meet someone, some high school student that goes to college, and you go off to college, wherever it might be, or here locally at Kennesaw State, whatever it might be, and you might meet your lifelong partner. You might meet that person. You may not, but you may not. You may meet that person, that spouse that you will spend eternity with. You might prepare yourself for a career that will change a number of times over the years. There is a God of good beginnings out there. He's a God who wants to desperately for you to have a relationship with him. He is not going to force that relationship on you. He's not going to force salvation on you. He wants you to have that relationship. He offers it to you, and you have to accept that. To the parents in the room, to the parents here that of your graduating students today, on behalf of this congregation, we say thank you to each of you for modeling a great home life. Modeling that. There have been times that the love that you've had for those students has been tested. Can I get an amen to that? There have been times that it's been tested, right? That said, you deeply in your life, you said, I love them so much. But there are times that it comes with some testing. There have been times that you probably thought, surely this child must have been switched at birth. Come on. Can I get amen to that? You've thought that. Don't tell me I'm the only one in the room that's thought that, right? Surely this child was switched at birth. Well, let me give you the word of encouragement. Your students thought the same way as well. Surely I was switched and put into this family of these adults in this room, right? So it goes both ways. There's challenges. You pause, you thought, you prayed, you read scripture over them or to them. You've taken your kids to church. You brought them to church. Some of you may have even dropped them off at church and many times or left them on the at the steps and say, take them off to retreat or camp or D-Now weekends or mission trips and Bible study activities and fun activities. In doing so, you weren't just dropping them off. You were investing time and effort and energy to get them around the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you were doing. It wasn't getting them out of the house for a week on mission or week on trip. You said, I am going to invest in it, even though you may not have said it. At a larger church family, we want to thank you for taking the time to invest your kids, not only educationally, but more importantly, spiritually. And we pray as a church that we constantly stay attuned to what you need, helping you grow your student, high school student, or your college student. They're continuing to make difficult differences in our worlds and the ministries that they might be involved in, pursuing callings on their own personal lives that they have for them. And we're so thankful for that. The God of good beginnings did that. He created everything so out of nothing and without nothing. He created everything. Let me share a gospel verse, John chapter 1, verse 3. And all things were created through him. And apart from him, one thing was created that has been created. Not one thing that was ever created wasn't created by him. It was all created by him. In the beginning, your relationship with Christ is somewhat a distant memory, maybe. Maybe you've been a Christ follower for a long time and you haven't experienced some spiritual growth. We invite you to connect in. God is wanting to have a relationship with you. Students, as you go off to college students, as you go off to the workforce, and maybe you'll return periodically for a special event, or maybe you'll come back during spring break or fall break or whenever that might be, or Christmas break. We want you to know that this church will be welcoming you. We'll have our arms wide open, and we will love to have you come and walk in journey with us once again. I want to give you a verse, Psalms 8. I ran across it this last week when I was doing my preparation because I think it's so appropriate that we not forget this. Psalms chapter 8. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because your adversary to make in the enemy and revengeful cease. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have obtained, what is a man that you take thought of him, as in the son of man that you care for him? Verse 5, you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty, and you make him rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen and also beasts of the fields, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name. Students, listen to me. Don't miss this. Remind yourself how majestic God is. Maybe a perfect commentary as we study, as we look into the next chapters of our life, that we have this instead of anything else. You need to study all this work that you're going to do to create your career. You need to pass with flying colors. You need to pour your life into your studies. Or if you're going to the workforce, that whatever you might be doing, you need to pour your life into that apprenticeship and learn that. But understand, oh Lord, our God, how majestic is your name. He is the God of beginnings because he's the God of grace and the God of mercy and the God who created. He is the God who wants to express how much he loves you. But as you read through the early chapters of the book of Genesis, you will find that he is not just God who ruled with an iron fist. He said, I'm not going to say point you into an iron fist scenario. He says, I am going to not program you, but I'm going to offer you grace. I'm going to offer you mercy. The God of beginnings wants us to have this wonderful relationship and get off to a right track in our life. Because of out of nothing and from nothing, He created everything. He desires an intimate relationship with you. Number three, God, the God of beginnings, is also the God of good endings. The God of good endings. Not only is He the God of the beginnings, but He's the God of good endings. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 and 13. Notice what Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. This is so beautiful. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Be restored. Be encouraged. Be of the same mind. Be at peace. And the God of love and peace will be there with you. Verse 12. I'm reluctant to read this one, but it's there. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, students, be careful with that. Please, be careful with that. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Genesis chapter 1, Psalms chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in various ways, these scripture passages remind us that He's not only the God of beginnings, but He's the God of good endings as well. Notice that the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, one of his favorite churches. These believers in Christ had struggled with. 1 Corinthians demonstrates the struggle that was going on in the church and how hard it was to be in Corinth and be a Christ follower. In 2 Corinthians, Paul shows the heart as he literally pours out to these believers as he has grown to love and cherish them. Paul knew exactly. He knew not only that God was the God behind every beginning, but also the God who is the present all through life, and He's the God of good endings as well. So you're about to depart. You're about to leave. You're about to get somewhat out on your own. You're about to be out there. You'll find your career at some point. Loved ones and new families and friends they'll somewhat be gone. They'll be in a distant reminder, but you'll always be connected. We'll miss you deeply having you around here every week. We will. You bring so much energy to the table. You bring so much excitement in the room. But the God who understands all endings understands that even in an ending like we're going to have when you graduate and go on to bigger and better things, there is an opportunity for new beginnings as well. So I encourage you to be faithful. Listen to me. Every day, find a moment somewhere along the way to get a fresh word from God. Every day, find a moment where you can get a fresh word from God. He will speak into your life. I challenge you to pause and find that spot. While you're at college, if you're going to college or you're going to the workforce, or those of you that are graduating college, find that place where you can serve. I especially think to you as college students that you're going to be faced with so many temptations to run and do your own thing. Some of that's okay. Be very careful, but I encourage you to find a place where you can give back and where you can be encouraged. And secondly, is remember that you are deeply loved. Don't ever forget this. You are deeply loved. You are valuable to God, and you are valuable to those in this congregation, and obviously you're valuable to your faith, your family. We salute you today. We salute you what the challenges you've gone through and how you've worked so deeply hard to do what you do and to finish your race, this part of the race. So the God of good beginnings is the God of good endings. So now, He is now the time of a beginning again. Beginning again. So all of what I just talked to you about was our opening comments. Here's the real message right here. We have an opportunity to begin again. Now let me give you a couple of words of caution. Sometimes we think that we can do anything that we want to do. And that's nothing wrong with having that mindset that we can do anything that we want to do. I'm reminded of Peter, one of the apostles. He believed in his heart when he left everything to follow Jesus. Remember Luke chapter 5 is the famous story. Really, it's written in all the Gospels. But Luke chapter 5 tells us what Peter did. He was fishing, and Jesus said, let down your nets. What did he say? And follow me. And Simon Peter had already seen the miracles that Jesus had done. And he let the nets go, and he began to follow Jesus. He felt that he would do great things. He thought that because Jesus was a long-awaited Messiah, that great things would be thrust upon him. Peter thought that he would be taking a place in this new kingdom of Israel, and that when Jesus came into his kingdom, Peter fully believed that Jesus was going to shake the very foundation of the Roman government. And that Israel would be able to shake off the captors and establish this new earthly kingdom that would be led by King Jesus. That's what Peter really thought. He thought that's what's going to happen. Now that sounds may surprising to you, but that is exactly what all of the disciples thought first when they first started following Jesus. When they came into service, they find that Peter seemed to be the most self-confident about that. Some others didn't say a whole lot, but Peter was obviously boisterous, and he was kind of loud spoken, and he was out front, but oftentimes Peter also put his foot into his mouth, oftentimes said things that he shouldn't have said, acted the way he shouldn't have acted. So Peter, once he was brave enough to rebuke even Jesus himself. And when Jesus was foretelling about his death on the cross, notice Matthew chapter 16. From the time that Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised on the third day, Peter took Jesus aside. Now, this is pretty bold. Here's the Messiah, the creator of everything, from nothing, out of nothing, God became flesh in the person of Jesus, one third of the Trinity. And Peter took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. And he turned and he said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are offensive to me. And you are not mindful of the things that God, but the things of men. But Peter seemed that didn't learn the lesson. And later on, Peter believed that this devotion to Jesus was enough to get him through the trial and persecution. Notice Matthew 26, verse 33. And Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. How bold is that? Here's Peter saying, all this is going to make others stumble. I'm not going to stumble. I mean, how arrogant is that? Huh? John chapter 13, notice what he said. Peter said, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Peter believed he could handle anything that came his way. And he believed that it was his strength, not God's strength, that would carry him through. And he would keep him true to Christ in his own strength. Peter had the courage and was unafraid, so he could believe it could be the face of anything. He could face any obstacle that came his way. Peter never grasped the concept of leaning on Jesus. So let me caution you. Sometimes we think we can do everything. Secondly, we need to realize we can do nothing. Sometimes we can realize we can't do nothing. I wake up every morning and say, Lord, today I want to just follow you. I want to follow your steps. Don't let me get in the way of where you want me to go. Because sometimes, if you haven't noticed this about me, I run at a high pace. For an old dude, I move fast. I enjoy it. I'm afraid we're burning daylight, man. Let's get this thing done. Amen? But sometimes I have to remind myself, let's not get ahead of God here. We need to realize that we can do nothing. I've never met a successful individual, and I've met a few in my time, a successful individual that did not have someone speaking life and truth into their life. I've never met one successful person that didn't have somebody speaking truth into their life. We all need someone that we can trust to completely be honest with. Someone we can lean on during the toughest of times, the darkest of days, in the moments in our journey. I couldn't do what I've done in my own ministry, in my own life of now almost 43 years in ministry, that I could not have been a successful and had some heartache in ministry before. I could not have done what I've done without having those people that I lean into and still do as well, speaking into my life, ultimately guiding and helping me make the right decisions and driven by the power of the Holy Spirit. As Christian students, listen to me. Don't miss this. I know you found yourself in some situations. You will find yourself in some situations. You'll find yourself about worried, dejected. You'll be discouraged somewhere along the way. I challenge you to find that person. Seek out after that person to lean into them and ask them to walk with you. The Bible is crystal clear about wisdom and what kind of wisdom that we should seek. Proverbs chapter 3, very familiar passage. Don't miss this. Trust the Lord with all your heart, not just part of it. All your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It will be healing to you and strength to your bones. Trust the Lord and ask God to put a person in your path that will walk in journey with you. Realize we can't do it on our own. And thirdly, we need to, but in Christ Jesus, realize we can do everything. We can't do anything on our own as followers of Jesus. Now, you can take the geometry and you take trig and chemistry and English and all of the writing papers and all that stuff on your own. But making crucial decisions in your own personal journey, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need somebody to walk with you. But in Christ, we can do everything. Because you are about to be on your own for the most part, we sometimes make the mistakes that we don't need Christ. In Christ, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to guide, to protect, to comfort, to encourage every step of the way. He declares, I will never, ever, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. But the Apostle Paul probably said it best in one sentence. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe you've tried in your own power. Maybe you tried to do life on your own and you feel a bit discouraged or disappointed. And there's going to be times, and believe me, gathering here close, don't miss this. Even when you go off to college or stay home and go to school locally, or maybe go into the workforce, or you're graduating college and you're stepping into the career life, sometimes you're going to step out there because you're going to swell up and say, I can do it on my own. But Jesus says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, the power of the Holy Spirit guiding me every step of the way. You're going to have discouragement. You're going to have disheartenment in your life. You're going to go through some disappointment in life. But if you turn to Jesus or turn back to Jesus, let Him have control. Let Him have control of your life. In just a few moments, I'm going to be giving an invitation as I do every Sunday. And that invitation is not just for our students. It's for you, parents. It's for adults, senior adults, grandmas and grandpas in the room viewing us by our live stream. This invitation is for you, this room today, to say, I can't do this on my own. I must surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. We've all had good beginnings. We've sometimes taken bad choices in our beginnings. We've messed up along the way. But there is a God of new beginnings today. He says, I welcome you, my child. I welcome you today to start again and again and again. Now, the Lord can only save you but one time. But we can recommit our journey and our life to the Lord Jesus each and every day. 1 John 1:9 says, if you'll confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of unrighteousness. Oh, my dear friends, gathering here close, we're one big family here. We're all part of the family of God. And today you're looking for a place. If you're here today and you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you be a part of this. Great days are ahead in the life of Roswell Street. Exciting moments are in the life of this campus. Exciting moments in the life of this ministry. As we look forward into what God has for us, we must realize that we can't do it alone. But in Christ and through Christ and by the power of Christ, we can do all things to strengthen us along the way. The God of beginnings, the God of endings is the same God who welcomes us today in this response to realize a brand new beginning. As I said in my opening comments of our message truth, I want you to read them again with me. They should be on the screen. Although we may face the invisible wars within, we can know and experience and receive the power of the Holy Spirit to move us forward in the next steps of life. And new beginning signifies new chapter. It's a concept of optimism and hope, encouraging us as individuals to embrace the new opportunities and look forward to a wonderful, amazing future. My question is today, will you surrender to His Lordship today? Will you let Him have control to guide you every step of the way? That's what new beginnings is all about. It's starting over every day. Let's pray. With our musicians and our team coming to lead us in biblical worship and our invitation. As I said a moment ago, this invitation is not just for our students, but it is for anybody here at the sound of my voice, maybe here for the first time. Maybe you're here and say, I'm looking for a church home. I want to be a part of something uniting, exciting, and special. Maybe you're here today and you're looking for a place that will love you unconditionally, that will guide you and walk in journey with you. Maybe you're here today. This may be the moment for you. Don't walk away from here. Maybe you're here today and you say, I know Jesus as my Savior, and I just want to begin a brand new step with the Lord today. Maybe you're here today as a guest to celebrate our graduates today, and you just say, I'm connected in my church, but I want to make a recommitment. If you'll confess your sins to the Lord, He is faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But maybe you're here today and you've never truly invited Christ as your personal Savior, Lord. Today is the day of salvation for you. I challenge you, as we step out into the world of this invisible war that we're in, just remember that new beginnings start fresh and new every day. Father God, do your work in this place. Save that one that needs to be saved. Rekindle the fire in that one that's wayward. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Be with us in this time of invitation. Those who need to make decisions, I pray, Father, that you give them courage to stand up and step out. And as we sing this wonderful hymn that your faithfulness is new every day, Father, I pray that you do a work in this place. In Jesus' name we pray.